Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about issues of the day from a biblical perspective, as well as highlights from interviews, conferences, and events. Here's Monty Larrick.
Thanks for making Illinois Family Spotlight part of your day. Governor J.B. Pritzker is pledging to keep Illinois open to transgender surgeries and drugs in defiance of the incoming Trump administration. Other blue state governors vowing to do the same. It's one of the issues that took center stage during the presidential campaign. It's sure to be a hot-button issue in the coming months as President Trump takes action to protect children from so-called gender-affirming care. Let's begin our conversation with Thomas Hampson, a writer for the Illinois Family Institute. He served as an intelligence analyst in the U.S. Air Force. He also served as a chief investigator for the Illinois Legislative Investigating Commission and was a Chicago Crime Commission board member. His work as an investigator prompted him to establish the Truth Alliance Foundation, which is dedicated to protecting kids. Tom, how would you define gender-affirming care, and explain how this is putting children in harm's way. Sure, not protecting kids.
Right. Well, there's two parts of the gender-affirming care. One of them involves hormone therapy for the kids, puberty blockers, hormone therapy, to prevent children from going through puberty. And once they do go through puberty, it starts the transition of their hormones to make them appear more feminine or more masculine, hormone therapy. The second part is actual surgery. The more common surgery is top surgery for girls where they remove the breasts, but they also do bottom surgery where they either construct an artificial penis or they remove the penis and create an artificial vagina. Both gender-affirming care procedures effectively make the child incapable of having a normal sex life.
A normal life altogether.
Right. This fiction that you can become a boy or a girl at whim. It's not true. Everybody knows it's not true. 75% of the public believes it's wrong to try to do that. And yet these elites in government, they're still trying to push the gender-affirming care.
What's their motivation?
I don't know. I think some of them believe it. People can be deluded into believing anything, but I think there's a lot of them that are doing it for political purposes and for financial gain.
I want to get into that financial gain part of this a little later, but in your article you wrote for the Illinois Family Institute, the whole of the Biden administration, you say, the entire Democratic Party has been promoting the so-called gender-affirming care for the past 4 years. Will that change with the new Trump administration?
It will. He's vowed to issue executive orders and also to pass laws to prohibit this gender-affirming care throughout the country. There's a federal law right now that prevents female circumcision. That is prohibited by law, federal law, in all states right now. There's no difference between that and this gender-affirming care, the surgery, whether it's chemical or surgical, because it's the chemical castration or surgical castration, surgical neutralization of these kids, ruins their sex life. So why would anybody want to promote that? Why?
Well, maybe money is the incentive because these surgeries cost a lot of money and the ongoing care puts you on the dole forever.
Yes. Once you start it, if you're going to keep going in that direction, if you are a boy and you want to pretend to be a girl, you have to continue taking the hormone therapy forever. There's also other medical side effects of these drugs that cause the need for more medical attention. So they become permanently dependent on medical care for the rest of their life.
Now, you say this changes with the Trump administration. Will his team have the leverage to do this? What would the leverage look like in these blue states like Illinois?
If they passed a law that say it's prohibited, a federal law to say it's prohibited, which he's got both the House and the Senate, I would think they would be able to do that. A lot of it depends on this case that argued before the Supreme Court on the Tennessee law prohibiting gender-affirming care. It depends on how the Supreme Court rules on that, I suppose. I can't see them saying that you can't outlaw these kinds of procedures. He can, by executive order, prevent any federal money from being used to support this kind of care.
Medicaid?
Through Medicare or Medicaid.
Wow. We've been calling it gender-affirming care What do you think it should be called?
So it is child mutilation, totally. Certainly the surgery itself is mutilation. The chemicals does the same thing internally to their organs. It causes a continuing need for medical attention, whether or not they stop taking this, because it changes their body.
Where could this go if parents don't have the wherewithal to say no to this?
Well, you've seen it in California where one parent is for it and another parent isn't. And in California, they had one where the child was given to the care of the parent that was in favor of the gender-affirming care because they saw that as the compassionate alternative for care of the child. But that's because there's been so much misinformation that's been put out about it. It's a concerted, decades-long narrative that's come out in favor of the LGBT agenda. And so people have bought into the lie. Over the years since 1973 to the present, it's been promoted over and over and over again, saying that this is a normal continuum of human sexuality. That's only because these people have put out that narrative. There's nothing behind that. There's nothing that establishes that as being a norm. There's nothing at all that says that sexuality is anything except binary, and yet that's the message that's being promoted and it has become accepted by many people in our culture. The one area that hasn't been developed as much is in this transgender
ideology.
Narrative, the ideology of the transgender narrative, because people say, now, wait a minute, your sex is written in every cell in your body. So they can't quite get over that. When it comes to an attraction, it's one thing, but when it comes to actually becoming male or a female, or that your sexuality is really in your brain, it isn't in your body, people just can't accept that. If they kept promoting that narrative more and more, eventually people would begin to accept it. In schools today, and most of the schools around the country, children are being taught at 3 years old, 4 years old, that they are male or female because the doctor guessed what they were when they were born based on their appearance. But they won't really know until sometime in the future when they discover what their sexuality is. You know, these kids are growing up now where it's becoming, that's an accepted fact, that you don't really know whether you're male or female until you decide for yourself.
Well, it's not based on science.
No, it's not.
And they claim the COVID response was based on science, climate change is based on science. But when it comes to gender, well, it's not based on science.
Look at Ketanji Jackson Brown. A justice on the United States Supreme Court was asked a question in her confirmation hearing, what is a woman? And she said she couldn't really say because she's not a biologist. Well, this is insanity, this kind of ridiculous political correctness.
We have a lot to discuss about this issue, and we're going to continue our conversation with Tom Hampson, writer for the Illinois Family Institute, right after this.
The God of Evolution? This is Ken Ham, an Aussie transplant with a passion for sharing the truth of God's Word. You know, many Christians think that God could have used evolution to create, but evolutionary ideas contradict the Bible. For example, Genesis tells us that living things reproduce according to their kind. Evolution says one kind changed into another kind over millions of years. Jesus said humans were created at the beginning of creation. Evolutionists say humans arrived billions of years after the beginning. Death is a necessary part in evolution. God's word is clear that death is a result of sin, not part of God's original creation. God didn't use evolution. He created, just like he said he did in Genesis.
Want to learn more about creation, evolution, and Genesis? Visit our website at AnswersRadio.com for more encouragement.
Hail and well met. My name is Jenna.
I'm Kenna Rose.
And I'm Eliana.
We are three of the five hosts of the Self-Evident podcast, a platform dedicated to speaking truths that were once self-evident, and our hope is that we do so in love.
We have seen a distinct lack of platforms talking about worldview issues and theology and just a lot of what's going on in the world from a perspective of speaking truth, but doing it in such a way that is loving. And so our hope is to be able to talk about these in such a way that
our peers can access
it.
Right,
absolutely. As well as interviewing a variety of people such as pastors, actors, theologians, directors, even some of our friends to glean wisdom from their own walks of life.
Yeah, so if you are in the Generation Z category, even if you're above that, or impressively, even if you're below that and you're listening to podcasts, good on you. We encourage you to stop by our platform at selfevidentpodcast.com.
Self-evident, speaking truths that were once self-evident and doing so in love.
Thanks for joining Illinois Family Spotlight. Monty Lyric with you, joined by Tom Hampson, a writer for the Illinois Family Institute, and he's also the founder of the Truth Alliance Foundation, which is dedicated to protecting children. And Tom, you have a great desire to have children protected from this so-called gender-affirming care. How confident are you that the Trump administration will actually tackle trans and related issues early on in his administration? Or could it be held up because the agenda might be more directed toward illegal immigration, the economy, whatever?
Well, he says he's already ready with the executive orders on the very early stages of his administration to deal with it whatever he can by executive order. But also, I understand he's already got legislation prepared to get introduced into Congress. So there's a whole, he's got so many things he has to do, who knows how long that legislation will take to get in, but I'm confident that he will do it. This is a high priority that he has, and he knows that in the swing states anyway, the transgender issue is one of the top priorities of the voters.
Yeah, well, will it be a top priority for Rhino Republicans in the House and Senate?
It's hard to say. I think it will. Because I think they know what the public believes. I think they realize that the majority of the public are on the side of restricting this transgender care, this gender-affirming care, by a huge margin. By 75% of the public is opposed to this.
Your organization, Truth Alliance Foundation?
Yes.
How can people connect with your organization to have some impact on what's happening right now in our culture?
Well, boy, there's a lot of things they can do. They can contact us at truthalliancefoundation.org. They can contact me directly, trhampson@hotmail.com. Whatever their interests are, we can help them become involved in pushing back against this issue. The biggest, most important thing that people can do to have an impact on this is to get involved in their local politics. We need to have sane people in charge of local communities, in charge of the villages, on the school boards, on the library boards, because it's mostly the activists that are winding up taking these positions, and they're steering the whole country into this activist narrative that's being promoted. And so we need normal people to be in these positions rather than the ones that believe that, you know, you can be a woman today and a man tomorrow.
The Biden administration made promoting trans ideology a high priority. We see evidence of that in women's sports, in our military, in our government schools, as you've mentioned. But where is it less visible, but still dangerous?
The private sector has embraced what the government has put out as being the norm. One of the problems that's happened with this transgender issue is that there was a ruling in the Bostock versus Clayton County that said you cannot discriminate against somebody who's transgender for employment purposes. It's based on the Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 65, I think, maybe 64. That part of Title VII needs to be changed in order for employers to be able to deal with this transgender issue. In 2013, people that had believed they were transgenders were identified as gender dysphoric in the DSM-5. In the DSM-4, it was considered gender identity disorder. So it went from a mental illness as gender identity disorder to a medical condition, gender dysphoria. It becomes a complex legal issue. Essentially, Title VII has to be changed to redefine sex as something that doesn't include transgenders. That would be a big help for private industry. But beyond that, what's happening in the private sector is that they are adopting this false narrative that a man can be a woman and a woman can be a man based on what's going on inside them, what they think in their mind. They are normalizing that as a truth when in fact there is no truth to it. Is it a total lie that's being accepted as truth?
Yeah.
This narrative is being put out throughout the whole culture by the community, this LGBT community that wants us all to accept it, and it's being accepted as truth by the larger culture.
Why do you think President Biden, Governor Pritzker, have made this radical gender policy priority, given the fact that they have to know that this is not popular with a majority of voters? What's the reasoning behind that?
I can't fathom the reasoning, other than it started, I think, with Barack Obama, where he began to marshal these different groups of people, that people are identified as, you know, black or white, rich or poor, gay, lesbian, straight, transgender. They have all these different identities. Everybody has a different identity. And so those people that identify with these different identities are the ones that they want to put together as one group. They highlight the identity. For example, instead of being Americans, you're African American or Hispanic American. It's a new class system. I am an old white Christian man, a straight man. And so that makes me kind of one of the massive oppressors of the culture. The only thing I'm below in on the oppressor category is that I'm not rich, so I don't have that to add to it. But they've created this division among our culture, and they're trying to get everybody together according to these different divisions. They want to group them into different categories. That's the only thing I can figure. It's the only thing that makes any sense to me.
I don't think a lot of people understand just how radical Governor Pritzker's transgender policies are. What's happening in Illinois, maybe California and a couple other states, is really not happening in a lot of other states.
Right. Well, in Illinois is a sanctuary for transgenders. If somebody can't get their transgender, gender-affirming care in some other state, they can come here to Illinois and get it.
At taxpayer expense?
Some, yeah, to a certain extent, yeah.
And he essentially said he wants to Trump-proof Illinois from these kind of policies that would overturn these radical policies. Can he do that? Does he have the power to do that?
I don't think he does. If there was a federal law that prohibited gender-affirming care for minors, I don't see how they could get around it. They could fight it in court, but I don't see that they're going to win on that. One of the things that he's trying to Trump-proof, too, involves the immigration issue. The illegals here in Illinois is going to try to protect them. I think if he does that, he's going to run afoul of the federal law, and he could wind up going to jail, which would be kind of funny.
I think there are people who would maybe subconsciously say, well, Trump's going to come to the rescue, and we really won't have to deal as much with these kind of issues anymore. What's your warning?
No, that's not true at all. There are laws in Illinois that no matter what Trump does nationally, until he gets that law passed that prohibits gender-affirming care, there are laws in Illinois that basically institutionalize the whole LGBT agenda so that in schools they'll still be normalizing all these kinds of behaviors. Well, all these kind of behaviors are considered normal in the teaching that children get in Illinois schools. And this in part is one of the reasons why, like for example, in my generation, I think 2% of the population in my generation identify as LGBT or whatever, one of these identities. But in the kids that are in school today, it's over 26% identify as LGBT. This is because they are being taught from the early stages in our schools that this kind of behavior is normal, and they wind up being recruited into these lifestyles. And it's getting more and more bizarre all the time. This is being presented as normal. This is just not something that we can continue to allow happen in the schools.
Well,
and it's going to continue until parents get involved.
Okay. Parents get involved. Here's the conundrum. They say, well, our legislature is controlled by left-wing Democrats. We have a left-wing governor, and the school boards are controlled by lefties. What am I going to do about it?
Well, you got to take over those school board positions. You got to get the normal people into the legislature rather than sacrificing your rights to these people who have ideas contrary to what you believe. Why are you voting for them? Why are you letting them into office?
And we're sure not hearing anything from the pulpit about this.
No, that's a big problem. The churches seem to be afraid to speak out against this perversion of humanity. It's very clear. The Bible says we're created male and female. That's it.
Parents get involved. Should they have a conversation with their kids' teachers, with administrators in their schools? Or we would suggest, Illinois Family Institute, that you pull your kids out of the taxpayer-funded government school, get them into a good Christian school, or homeschool them.
That is the best alternative. I recommend that as well. The Truth Alliance Foundation and several other organizations I work with, I recommend that as well. The problem is that there are a lot of people who can't do that. They don't have the money to send them to
a private school, a Christian school.
They don't have the time, because a lot of them are single parents. It's very difficult for a single parent to homeschool their kids. So they don't have much of a choice. However, they can do other things. In Illinois, any person can request information through the Freedom of Information Act about what's being taught in the school. You have to go in and look at what it is that they're teaching, and they don't have to show you everything under that Freedom of Information Act. However, parents have more rights than that. If you are a parent of a child, a parent has the absolute right to look at everything the child is being taught and to opt the child out of anything that they don't want the child to be taught. There's a federal law that requires that. So parents need to at least do that. Even if you're working and you're a single parent, you can still require the schools to provide that information to you. And they need to do that. And they need to opt kids out of some of these narratives that are being taught to them. For example, if you have a child 4 years old in a government school, and you find out that they're being taught that they won't know whether they're a boy or a girl until when they discover it for themselves, you can require that they not teach your child that. And if they say anything about that, your kid isn't anywhere around it.
You have to be proactive.
Right. Parenthood is proactive.
And just because President-elect Trump has promised to do something about this, it may not happen right away.
Right.
So if you're a parent, you've got to persevere and take action.
Right. Well, we become too accustomed in this country to figure that somebody else is going to do this for me. You know, there was a time in this country when parents did all the education themselves. They taught the child how to be equipped for adulthood. Teachers were an afterthought. It became a convenience for parents to allow somebody else to do a lot of this teaching for them. We can't do that anymore. We can't figure that somebody else is going to do the work for us. We have to take that back on ourselves if we want it to be done correctly.
Your articles are available at illinoisfamily.org, and we're going to be talking in another podcast with you, another Spotlight podcast, about a parent's rights toolkit. We'll be discussing that, so stay tuned for that. And your foundation, once again, how can people connect?
TruthAllianceFoundation.org is our website, and my email is trhampson@hotmail.com.
All right. Well, thank you, Tom, for all your work, your mission to protect children, so vital in our culture today. And thank you, folks, for tuning in. Please support the work of the Illinois Family Institute. Stay up to date on what's happening in our legislature by signing on for our IFI email updates. You can just do that by going to illinoisfamily.org or give us a call at 708-781-9328. Make sure you go to our events page. We have a big marriage and family conference coming up Saturday, March 8th at Belmont Bible Church in Downers Grove. You don't want to miss it. Stay active, stay healthy, and God bless.
For more information about Illinois Family Spotlight, visit ifiaction.org. And to email questions and comments, do so at feedback@ifiaction.org.